It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to another edition of Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's so good to be coming to you today to share the Word of God. I love Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." That verse took on a new meaning for me this year as I turned 65, because I was 25 years old when I started my church, Grace Family Church. And I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. If there's one truth that has carried me through the years, it's understanding the sovereignty of God, that nothing in my life, either good or bad, can happen until it first filters through the hands of my sovereign God. And if it gets this far, it's come with a purpose, and God will see me through. Friend, it is so important for us to realize that God is in control, and he's directing my steps. That produces an incredible peace when I'm not always just running around seeking God's will and trying to make something happen. I relax in him and understand that he orders my steps. Sometimes when I get on an airplane, I have to look and see who's sitting next to me, that somehow God put someone there, and it's going to be a day where I will impact their life or they will impact my life, because my steps have been ordered by the Lord. The second thing it said here was, he delights in his way. And it's important to see who is the he in this verse. Is it the man whose steps are ordered by God, or is it God? I notice the he is in capital letters. God orders my steps, and he delights, or he takes pleasure, in the way he chooses for me. See, sometimes you and I will make choices to go the wrong way, and God is not delighting in that. That doesn't please God. But when we are seeking God for direction in our life and we follow the way he's established for us, that's where the peace comes in our hearts, knowing God has ordered our steps. You see, no matter what I face today, God has decided that I can handle this through his grace, and he will be there all the way with me. There's a story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that's very familiar, because the Apostle Paul has this thorn in the flesh. Been a lot of debate in Christianity about Paul's thorn in the flesh, but let me read it to you today in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." Paul says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" And then he concludes with verse 10. "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God told Paul, "My grace is enough. It's sufficient." When you begin to think of God's grace in light of his power that helps me make it through the day when I can't make it on my own, it brings a new perspective. Now, I named my church Grace Family Church because the message of grace totally changed my life. I lived in a performance mode with God until I came to understand his grace. And then I realized that God's grace is his ability in me to do for me what I can't do on my own. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul said this. He said, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Do you see how that fits in with Romans 8:28 when it says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? You see, temptation is not always just to do what we commonly think of as sin. Sometimes temptation can be to throw in the towel or to quit or to go back trusting in your flesh and get all legalistic. God is telling us there's no temptation that has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he provides a way of escape for you. You see, my friend, right now, no matter what you're going through, God is there measuring your trial, making sure it's not more than you can handle. He's providing a way out for you, a way of escape. Back in our text today in Psalm 37, verse 24 had said, when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I want you to notice he doesn't say if he falls. God said when he falls. See, you can rebuke trials till you're blue in the face and you're still going to have them. I like what Jesus said to Peter in Luke chapter 22. He said in verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. See, I believe that Satan can't do anything to us without getting God's permission first. And God is right there to strengthen us with his grace. Notice Jesus said, I prayed that your faith not fail. What Peter went through was a temptation to throw away everything he believed in. You see, we see things in the short term. We see things through time. God sees things in the perspective of eternity. If you went to Peter's church, you would say, let's get rid of him. Man, this guy has a terrible history because he denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was. God said, I can use a man like that. So when it came time to preach the message on the day of Pentecost at the birth of the church, who was it that preached the message when 3,000 people got saved? God used Simon Peter. And in verse 25 of Psalm 37, he said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. My friend, God has never failed you. God has never failed me. If he failed you, you would be the first, and it's not going to happen. David put it this way, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. No matter how bad it gets, God is going to work it out for your good. Verse 19 of Psalm 34, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, it just might be that as believers, we may have even more problems than the heathens or the lost person because our batting average is better. God's there working on our behalf. Sometimes I think Satan doesn't give our wicked neighbor problems at all because it may cause him to turn and call upon God. As I was thinking today about the sovereignty of God, I was reminded of a couple of Old Testament stories that really speaks to this issue. The first one was Job. Many people cringe when you mention Job. God gave us the book of Job to help us understand why trials come and how we'll eventually get through them. I know this is an Old Testament book, and we have to be careful when we use it for doctrinal purposes without bringing it back through the cross of Christ. But what I want you to see today was Job 1 and verse 1 said that Job was a righteous man. It said, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Wow. See, Job's problems didn't come his way because he did things wrong. Job's problems came his way because he did things right. In verse 6, it said, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.' And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.' 'Does Job fear God for nothing?' Satan replied. 'Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger.' And then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Do you see, friend, that even in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, God was still in control, and Satan could not do anything without his permission. Everything that happens in life, none of it catches God by surprise, the good or the bad. And remember, Romans 8:28 said, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So even though Satan attacked Job, Job lost everything. His wife, his cattle, his children died. Job lost everything. But in the end, what happened? The Bible tells us that God restored unto Job twice as much as he had before. And then there was the story of Joseph. He was a young kid who was a model teenager. And yet Genesis 37 said, "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it." I've always wondered why the Lord pointed out that the cistern was empty. And I believe it's because when they threw him in and there was no water, pain was involved. Pain was involved. Sometimes in life, when the trials hit us, there's a lot of pain involved. They sold him as a slave. Then the Midianites sold him a second time. And so now he's facing rejection after he faces the pain. Then we remember he prospers in Potiphar's house. So he comes to the house of Potiphar, and the Bible says that Potiphar's wife gets an eye for Joseph. In Genesis 39, verse 7, it says, "And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.'" So he got to go to prison, and there in the prison, he met the butler and the baker. Joseph gets thrown into prison. It goes from bad to worse. Now, if this had been you or I, we would be wondering, where is God in all of this? But Joseph was faithful, and God eventually promoted him. He became second in command in all of Egypt, and he was there to lead his people through a great time of famine. Perhaps the greatest mystery of all life is why bad things happen to good people. But I'm convinced that God is actively involved with each and every day of my life. My steps are ordered by him, and he will determine the outcome of each and every battle. My friend, regardless of how it looks right now, in the momentary perspective, God sees things through his eternal perspective, and he will be there bringing about his will in my life. Well, I believe today God has ordained our steps to where you're listening to this program today. And I want you to know, no matter what you're going through today, God will see you through. He's going to work it out for your good. My friend, I so appreciate you joining me for the program today. Walk in grace. God loves you. He really does. Stop by our website at weneedgod.com and drop me a line today. Let me know you're listening.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional. He makes His mercies new every morning.